Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
All right, great radio stations across the land, joepags.com. All the social media there, plus the live video feed. Make sure you stop by. It's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you here. Coming your way on a Friday. Give me some strings. Horns, please. Uh-huh. Protein bar. That's Kerry Lockie right there. What day is it anyway? Where is Bob Guthrie? Let's go.
Friday.
Uh-huh. Thank God it's...
Thank God it is Friday.
Yes, it is.
Friday.
You know it. Thank God it's...
Thank God it is Friday.
All right, let's make it a Free Speech Friday. Let's go.
Free Speech Friday.
Freedom. Freedom. Uh-huh. Bring it now. Pick it up a notch. 888-941-PAGS. JoePags.com. Whatever's on your mind is going to be fair game. If I know something about it, we'll talk about it. If not, we will move on. She is back. It is the Lockmeister. What's happening, Kerry?
Hello. How's it going?
All good or what? All good? All fine? All great?
Sure.
I mean, didn't work out exactly as you might have wished yesterday.
No. That's the end for us. So, sad.
Paul, if you can, let's pan that right just a little bit. That'd be great. And it'd be wonderful. So, let's talk about it. And I don't mean talk about your husband and talk about, you know, the idiosyncrasies of how you guys felt afterwards. But let's talk about sports.
Okay.
Let's talk about the role of sports. Your son... is on the team. They had a great year. Mm-hmm. They lost a tough game in the playoffs. Mom was there the entire time. Not sure if that helped or hurt. Just going to put it out there.
I'm not sure. It helped. Yeah.
I've done a study. I'm not sure.
It did. Yeah, you
what the study,
that study
says. Mm-hmm. I've got it here. Quinnipiac and I are working together.
Oh, okay. I'm send that to me together. During the break.
And Gallup,
okay.
And Epic
email
MRA.
It to me.
Yeah, we're all working together. Zogby. We're all Rasmussen.
Wow,
Rasmussen.
Somebody
whatever.
Involved.
We're all
okay.
working on it. A lot of people. A lot of people and a lot of answers. And I don't think you want to hear a lot of them. But when it comes to the season, you were there. You were get it done. Your son played his face off. Your husband coached his face off, and it was a great successful. Congratulations to them for doing so well.
Well, thank you. I will definitely pass that along. Yeah, they worked really, really hard.
So as a mother, were you apprehensive to let your son play football?
Honestly, no. Because I'm married to someone who at the age of 4 started, and sports has been such a big part of his life, and he's a coach.
Right.
So that's always been, this is what our kids are going to do, and I'm 100% behind that. Do
and
I want my kids
guy.
To get hurt? Absolutely not.
Well-disciplined,
but
very successful. I mean, sports adds all that, doesn't it?
I think so, yeah. Like I said before, it'd be great, if he got a full ride, you know, scholarship to a D1 school and he can play.
He might. He's a huge guy. What is he, 14, 15?
He's 15, yeah. And that would be great, but that's not why we do it. But I just think it adds to his character and to the man that he's going to be someday. And it's all good. Only good
I thought that as well. I thought that as well growing up. A huge baseball fan. And I played a Little League baseball. Wasn't great. Then got better. By my third year in Little League, holy crap, it was really, really good. Then played senior league and played baseball in high school, and just loved the game. Now my mom did balk and stop me from playing football, although I was bigger than the average kid. Football was not in the cards because I was a piano player and a saxophone player, and I think that she was afraid I was going to either break my neck or break my fingers or something would not work anymore. And it was that fear founded? No, probably not. Did I still play the harshest, you know, position in baseball where I got run over all the time and had to wear all the equipment like a football player? The catcher, yes, still did that. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. I liked the regimentation. I liked the discipline of it. I liked how to be in shape. I hated running around the field, but at the same time, I knew that it was doing well for my body. I liked being able to hit a ball far. That was always fun. Wow, what a great feeling that is. And the camaraderie with the guys as well. Plus, you've got a leader in the coach. And the coach does tell you, you know, what right from wrong on the field and sometimes off the field. All of that worked for me. Are sports still that today, do you think? Generally
speaking?
Well,
when I see my husband, yes. Now, generally speaking, I don't know. I don't know if that's the case anymore. I think things are a lot different.
I watch sports, and I see more anger, frustration, and negativity than I've ever seen. Now, there's still a lot of positivity. Still, a lot of, and high school sports especially, still very positive. And I still think that people are learning the right lessons on that level. I think many times in college they do as well, although it's starting to go by the wayside, because if you're good enough, you get away with a lot of crap in college. There's also a question of whether college players should be getting money for their images used and all that. We can get into that in a little while. When you get to professional sports and they're a few years out of college, suddenly the discipline goes by the wayside. And I don't know if this started with Latrell Sprewell choking, what's his face? I forget the guy's name. He's an Italian guy. What's his name? He's affiliated with the Spurs. Come on, Polo. I could picture him. I can't. And I even met him in Denver with Andrew Monaco that time. Oh, what's his name? The guy with the beard.
Yeah.
People are yelling at their radios right now. Latrell Sprewell choked the coach. He was the head coach at the time. He's been an assistant with the Spurs. He has been a Spurs color announcer, play-by-play guy. Exactly right. Carlissimo. So he chokes PJ Carlissimo, and, I mean, that was so radical to see that happen. And that's got to be 20 years ago now. I mean, that's a long time ago now. But that's when I started thinking, well, wait a second. Maybe it's not as disciplined as I thought, and maybe it's not okay. And then you heard about a lot of off-the-field stuff with football players, baseball players, drug use, whatever else. And you start thinking, wow, what happened to the regimentation? What happened to that? And then you start thinking, well, the injection of money does change it. And if you're a valuable enough player, you can get away with a lot. There was some pitcher for the Yankees, again, whose name I can't remember, who was suspended probably like 9 times for doing cocaine.
Was it Steve Howe?
They kept on bringing him back. Maybe. You could be right. Probably are. And again, the vast majority of sports stars don't do that. But the ones that do, it's really loud. It's really brash. It's really noticeable. And it gets your attention. Like, we've had a situation last night, and I don't watch the NFL. Paul, were you watching this game last night?
Oddly enough, I started watching a piece of it, and then I went away from it, and then I heard about what happened at the end. So I didn't see it
live. So
was
it the Bengals and the Steelers?
No, it was the Browns and the Steelers.
The Browns and the Steelers. Okay. Yeah. I haven't watched NFL football in more than 3 years, and I won't be watching it anytime soon. I still don't know if people are kneeling or not. The NFL did not take a hard enough line. I think there probably is a straggling player who's kneeling here and there, and maybe I'll come back eventually. I have no knowledge of my own team. I understand the Dolphins suck this year, but I have no idea what their standings are, who the starting quarterback is. I have no clue. I don't know who's on my team anymore. But having said that, these people have been getting paid a lot of money to play a game. They've already taken it to the nth degree to push somebody like me away with their political stances. Because, again, the job is to play the game. But now, I mean, Sam sent me the story, you sent me the story, we talked about the story, I've seen the video of the story. I mean, you got somebody who's out there playing a game who somehow, through anger and frustration, ripped the helmet off of the quarterback, which already is that's a pretty big penalty. I'm guessing the NFL still would make that a 15-yard penalty and probably a fine after the game. But then, according to you, I saw a meme or a moving GIF that stopped before I saw the next part. Are you telling me he hit the quarterback in the head with the helmet once the helmet was off the guy's head?
Yes. Thankfully, he didn't hit him with the crown of the helmet. It was kind of like the side part of the helmet, and he didn't like full on get him either. But no, he got him.
And this is a guy you're telling me that doesn't have a history of doing stuff like this.
No, he's from all accounts. I mean, he's shown like great character. I mean, he was the number one pick, I guess, maybe like 3 years ago for Cleveland. And the quarterback in question is Mason Rudolph. He's the backup quarterback for the Steelers because Roethlisberger's been out for the majority of the season already. Okay. And Cleveland was winning 21-7.
So the game was basically over. So why add insult to injury and hit the quarterback in the head with the helmet?
Yeah.
Has this guy spoken out, the guy who did it?
I mean, they were talking to him right after the game. I found that to be very surprising that they were interviewing him.
What did he
say? He was apologizing. I mean, he you could tell that he was trying to make sure he said the right things. And even his own teammates, like Baker Mayfield, was saying that it was, you know, I forgot his exact words, but, you know, he was saying that it was a pretty bad thing.
I mean, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You're taking a piece of equipment and you're hitting somebody's unprotected head with it. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And I don't, heat of the moment. Because you got the adrenaline flowing. Look, I get my adrenaline flowing all the time. I don't beat somebody over the head with something. So I'm not really sure why it goes there. But you take, like, the younger people, like, Carrie, like your son, and those that your husband coaches, and even those who are being coached in college who are already, you know, on the verge of maybe acting out to the professional ranks. Does this guy just forget everything he's learned? And I guess, what is the role of sports in society? Look, sports, first and foremost, is entertainment. It's to entertain your time when you're not working and take some pressure off and go have a beer and a brat and enjoy yourself. And you know, rah-rah team. Okay, that's definitely what it's for. Even though Charles Barkley said, I'm not a role model, that's not true. Of course he was. And we do look up to our sports stars, our Hollywood stars, our TV stars, or whatever, our music stars. We look up to them because they've reached a level of success that we can't really fathom reaching. When you're watching somebody, you know, run back a kickoff for 100 yards for a touchdown, we're going, damn, I wish I could do that. I really find, you know, glory in watching this person vicariously, you know, on television. It would be great to be able to do that. I remember, you know, interviewing some former sports stars saying, what does it feel like to win the Super Bowl? What does it feel like to catch an 80-yard pass or whatever, or to throw one? And you always love to hear the answer. But I don't know how you get from being idolized and showered with money and people praising you constantly to, in one moment at the end of a game that's over, you rip the helmet off a guy and hit him in the head with it. I don't know how we get there. But am I lobbing too much responsibility? Carrie, I wonder from you, am I lobbing too much responsibility on the shoulders of these athletes?
I don't think so, especially not at the pro level, no. I mean, and they're making millions of dollars. And I understand it's the heat of the moment, but you don't rip off a helmet and then hit somebody over the head with it. I don't think there's any excuse for that.
I've had people call this show, and there's been heat of the moment stuff. I don't remember ever screaming, well, go F yourself. You know,
exactly. You restrain yourself.
To have control.
Yes.
There's a governor that you put on yourself before you do that. But I do wonder if those listening think that there's too much of an impetus put on, or too much of a level of importance put on by our society on those who are achieving at a high level in sports. I mean, it used to be that you would take glory and satisfaction out of watching, you know, Bruce Jenner win the decathlon. I mean, in USA, USA, let's wrap yourselves in the flag. Now we're basically told, well, I should kneel when the flag, you know, is out, or I shouldn't pay attention to the Star Spangled Banner. Or if somebody wants to choke a coach in the sideline, well, what are you going to do? Heat of the moment. The coach was really wrong in how he looked at him. Or that, from what I understand, Polo, from what you're telling me, I guess the Browns were saying that Pittsburgh was playing a little dirty during the game.
Well, no, I mean, they were. There was quite a few hits. There was a guy from Cleveland, I believe, that was thrown out for hitting, I think it was Juju Smith-Schuster, and another receiver, he got hit on the side, like by the, what's like, they call it the ear hole of the helmet, and
right.
He was bleeding from his ear.
So Cleveland was playing dirty, or Pittsburgh was?
Cleveland was.
So, and this guy was from Cleveland who did this at the end of the game.
Right.
So it's Cleveland the entire time.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm confused by it. I really am. Plus, you're winning the game. The goal when you go out there is certainly personal achievements, maybe get a sack, maybe throw a touchdown, maybe, you know, do something, get an interception. But at the end of the day, what you want is a win. You want to win the game. So they already achieved that. I don't know what this guy was achieving. But what should the role of sports be? Here's my question for you. What should the role of sports be in our society? And do we hold them way, way too high on a pedestal? And should we stop? 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Stay right here.
Joe Pags.
People are writing me on Twitter, and I appreciate your engagement in the program. They're saying Daryl Strawberry. No, that's not who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Steve Howe. And Steve Howe, actually, he died tragically in a single car crash at Coachella in 2006. He had methamphetamine in his system. Obviously, he was in and out of drug rehab. He didn't have an easy life, but they kept on taking him back, even with all these drug suspensions, which didn't make any sense. But I guess he was good enough that they wanted him back. Now, he also, I believe, he was on the Dodgers, and he helped the Dodgers beat the Yankees in one World Series as well. But, yeah, I mean, just the question is just one that popped into my brain. I saw the proud pictures of Carrie's husband and child. I saw the before and the after, which was kind of cool. The after, they actually looked like they were satisfied with a really hard-fought season. Sad to end that way, obviously, but
yeah,
I'm kind of proud. I wasn't invited to one game, but I'm proud of them.
Oh, I am, too. I'm extremely proud. That's why I keep posting pictures of them all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, your family didn't invite me to any games, so
you wouldn't have gone anyway.
I'd have taken the day off.
Oh, really? All right, next season.
Why not?
Okay, all right. We'll invite you to a game. We'll see if you show.
Or I can, like I said before, I can bring the whole radio set up there.
Okay, sure.
Get a really long HDMI cable.
Stadium. Uh huh. Okay.
Some duct tape.
May not work.
And a couple of cans to put together. Uh-huh. No, I'm serious. And I should probably announce at the press box.
I think we have somebody to handle that.
You tackle made by Little Lockie. Little Lockie on the tackle.
Not little.
Why not? Why?
No.
Well, I mean, younger. Lockie Jr.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I got you.
It is, well, you know what's funny? That child, and of course, there's a Mario influence, but he looks just like you.
He does.
It was like you standing
so
in a football uniform. I'm like, why is Carrie playing football? What is going on?
Yeah.
It is 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. If you're just joining us, my wonderment out loud after seeing that violent hit last night where a player for the Cleveland Browns rips off the helmet of the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers and then hits him with it. I mean, I'm asking myself what happened to, because like I saw a quick interview with Michael Jordan recently where he talked to the interviewer was asking him, what about activism? How do you feel about the NBA players and other sports stars being active? He said, I'm fine with it. Then the guy said, but you never did that. Why not? He said, because I thought my job was to be a professional athlete and I wanted to do that the best I possibly could. Then the interviewer, I think, tries to egg him on a little bit and says, well, if you go back and do it again, would you change that? What do you think his answer was, Carrie?
Probably no. I wouldn't change it.
Nope. I would not go to the past and change anything. I think it's worked out pretty well. But now he's more active, and he's opening health clinics, and he's worth $1.6 billion or something, and he's doing great good for the community, which is great, and I appreciate that. But I like what he had to say. My job was to go out there and play the best basketball, be the best team that I could be the best professional athlete I could be, and that's what I thought I did. And I agree with him. But now, fast forward to now, where I think that there's some strange line that's been grayed out or crossed, where it's like, well, I'm a really huge star, so I'm going to kneel, or I'm going to wear the Castro shirt, or I'm going to hit a guy over the head violently with a helmet. It actually begs the question, in watching the video during the break, and Paul, I'll start with you. Should this guy be charged with a crime?
I don't think so.
If I walked up to you on the street and hit you with a helmet, would I be in trouble for assault and battery?
I think that's different.
Well, how? What's the difference where it happens? I mean, it really is that's not in the game. You'd agree to that.
No, but I think it's, you know, where it is happening, that it is on the field during a game. If it was maybe on the field after the game, I think that's different. But I think while the game is going on, I think it's different. I think it's a
He can't be charged with a crime if it's during the game?
I mean, he could if the quarterback decides to press charges against him.
Well, no, he wouldn't have to. I mean, everybody saw it. The world saw it, right?
Yeah, but that's what they're saying, that if the quarterback, you know, chooses to press charges, then that's where it could become a criminal. Yeah.
Carrie, what do you think?
I don't know.
Did you see it?
Yes, I did. I think he could be charged with a crime, yeah.
But should he be?
Maybe. Kind of leaning.
Sam, what do you think?
I'm kind of with Polo on this one, because in the heat of the moment, a lot of people can do a lot of things in sports, and I've seen a lot of dirty things on like the NBA, and they've never been charged, so I don't really know.
It's an interesting question, and I bring it up because I see that Julie is in Indiana and wants to talk about it. Julie, what do you think? Hi.
Hi. Well, first of all, I think the...
Well, actually, I'm out of time. Hold on. I'm going to put you on hold. I'll take you as soon as we come back from the break. All right, stay here. Much more to come on the Joe Pags Show.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pags Show.
right, great radio stations across the land, JoePags.com. All the social media there, plus the live video feed. Glad to have you here. It's the Joe Pags Show. We will do the deep dive into the impeachment garbage next hour. Make sure you stick around. Another great job by Elise Stefanik. She is a congresswoman, congressman out of New York District 21. So make sure that you stick around to hear from that. Tracy Beans next hour, too, uncoverdc.com. Make sure you go there and check out her website. It's great. And she's got great insight and great information to what happened today. Carrie has rounded up our favorite sound bites from today, so we'll get to those as well. So make sure you stick around for it. All right, we're talking about sports, the role of sports in our society. Do we hold sports stars up on too high a pedestal? Carrie, did I say that this guy should be charged?
No, I don't think you did. I mean, we're talking about it. You were asking us, but I don't
Paula,
know.
Paula, did I say he should be charged?
You said that.
I don't know if you ever said that exactly.
No, I didn't. Some guy tweeted me, I can't believe you want the guy to be charged. I didn't say that. What I said was, Paulo, should he be charged? Then you gave me a big, long reason why he shouldn't. Carrie, should he be charged? Well, he could be, but then you said probably not. Sam said in that arena, in that theater, in the constraints of sports, shouldn't be charged. I've got Julie on the line who wants to talk about it as well. I never once said he should be charged. I said, but he could be, couldn't he? And I think the answer is definitively yes.
Mm-hmm.
Of course he could be. And Paulo says there's actually an angle of the story that if the quarterback wants him to be charged, he could. But and it's a simple question. That's a violent act that's outside the sports, the sports arena, outside the rules and regulations of the game. And it's not something you just throw the flag about. I mean, this guy, what is he facing, Paulo? An indefinite suspension, which means we don't know how long.
Yeah, well, he's suspended for the whole season for sure already, but they said indefinite, so they haven't said beyond the season, and that includes playoffs. If for some reason the Browns were to make the playoffs, he wouldn't be able
All right.
to be available.
So that's a pretty stiff punishment for doing that. Probably going to have to pay a hefty fine, and I would hope that he would reach out to the quarterback and have a conversation. But I asked a simple question. Could he be charged? And my answer is, as somebody who understands the law, yes, he could be. That was a violent act, an uncalled for violent, malicious act. Heat of the moment, adrenaline, that doesn't matter that much to me. But the constraints of the field of play, I do understand that angle. Let me go to Julie. Julie, I didn't mean to give you a short shrift, but I didn't realize how late we were when I took you last time. What's on your mind?
Oh, no, not at all. No problem. You know, I think in this situation, you also got to look at the guy's history. I mean, this is a guy who has been fined tens of thousands of dollars for already punching a player in the face, roughing the passer calls. I'm driving, so I'll be honest with you, I didn't have time to look it up, but I think he even caused like a season-ending injury for a quarterback. You guys can look that up, but I think that's true.
Well, we will look it up. I think Paulo was under the impression that this guy does not have a history of doing stuff like that. Paulo, if you don't mind, look that up and see if you can find something more. Sounds like you knew more than I did on this. So, Julie, you've actually looked up his history, and he does have that in his background?
I'm driving, but I work in an industry where we were having this discussion at work, and I talked with some intelligent sports people who said to me, yeah, this guy has had tens of thousands of fines already assessed to him as a player. He's had roughing the passer calls, and I believe they said one of them caused a season-ending injury to a quarterback. So my point is like, okay, you're not going to charge him, fine, but do something more than – the guy needs some punishment. You can't keep –
Should he be out for good? No more – that's it, you're done.
Well, I mean – I don't know what. I feel like there needs to be consequences for actions when it's a continual habitual problem, and you're on display. You're on display for everybody to see. And I get heat of the moment, but if you or I whack somebody with a helmet in public, we'd be charged.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's interesting, Julie. I appreciate that. Paul, you find anything out?
I'm looking, and when I was saying that he hadn't been.
He's not known as a dirty player, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and what I was saying is that he had never been suspended games like somebody like, say, Vontaze Burfict, who he's been suspended three different times in three different seasons for at least five games. And then this last time, I think they suspended him for eight games because of some dirty hits that he's done. So, I mean, I'm sure he's had penalties and stuff like that. But as far as I know, at least from what I was hearing from ESPN and some of the other places, that he had never been suspended for anything.
I'm checking to see if
that's correct.
No, I'm guessing if he's out for the rest of the season, he's not going to get paid. Does it say that?
I haven't seen
that's
that.
That's a pretty stiff penalty. I mean, if that's the truth, then, well, I can't see as you would suspend a guy and then just keep paying him. That would be weird.
Yeah, and then both.
I wonder if we could find that out.
Both teams are, they got fined $250,000 each.
Well, why?
I don't know.
I know the Pittsburgh players jumped in, but they were defending their guy, no?
Yeah, but I guess just the fact that it happened, both teams got fined $250,000.
Interesting. See if you can find out, Sam, anybody, see if you can find out if this guy's going to get paid. Let me go back to it and say hello to line one. It's Rich in Corpus Christi. Rich, what's going on?
Hey, Joe, you said a word early in the show this evening about discipline, and that's what it all comes back down to. You either learn discipline and you know when the play's over.
You got to let it go. You can't do that. Come on now. And again, Kerry, what happens?
They feel very comfortable talking with you like they're talking with the bud. And
couple of guys,
let it slip.
Having a beer after a long week of work, just shooting the stuff. But he didn't say stuff.
No.
It's going to help you with that. So, again, if you're watching on the live stream, you saw that. I get where you're coming from. And it sounds stupid, but I actually appreciate the level of conversation that we have to where you feel comfortable saying that. Unfortunately, the FCC doesn't agree with you, so we can't let you continue when you do that. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. I do take his point, though, and I think it's a good one. In football, like in baseball, between pitches, there isn't any other activity going on, generally speaking. In baseball, between innings, you know, you're not up there throwing the bat at somebody or throwing a ball at somebody. You're not really in regulation time. It's not time. You're not playing the game. In football, in a timeout, you know that there's no real football activity happening. You might be planning the next play or whatever, but you're not actively in a play. When you're playing in the play, when you're in the game and the play, first, second, third, or fourth down, the play starts when you snap the ball. The play ends when, Polo?
When they blow the whistle.
Exactly. When you hear that whistle blow, you know instinctively, your muscle memory will tell you the play is over. The reason why the whistle is used is because it's loud and annoying, and nobody gets out and hear the whistle. That's kind of hard to say. Even in a very loud stadium, those refs and umpires are right there in your face blowing a whistle at you, and you know when it's over. And I can't imagine that guy didn't know the play was over. Now I've got people tweeting me, yeah, but Pittsburgh, they were being horrible too, and they were all jumping in from the sidelines. This guy hit an unprotected quarterback's head with a helmet. I don't care how big a Cleveland Browns fan you are and how wrong some of the Steelers might have been. That's an act you can't do, period. Let me go back out and say hello to line four. It's going to be David in San Antonio. David, what's going on?
Hey, Joe, how you doing today?
Living a dream, man. What's happening?
So the guy we're talking about, Myles Garrett, you know, he was a Aggie graduate. I graduated from Texas A&M too. So
cool.
I watched this guy play college football. You know, I was a big fan.
Are you a fan? Yeah.
You know. Oh yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, I watched him develop at A&M, and he's every bit of everything that everybody said about him. You know, he was a guy with high integrity, honor, and everything up until, you know, the NFL. And,
why does that happen? Because of the money?
I think they treat sports more like a business than they do what sports was really intended for.
Yeah.
You know, to teach people teamwork and everything else that goes along with it.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I think the one thing that there's, you know, they are really focused on Myles Garrett, but, you know, there's other parts of the story too, you know, and there's images that show it online.
Okay.
That the quarterback was probably just as at fault for really antagonizing the situation as well. You know, Myles Garrett's job, you know, his job is to go after the quarterback. You know, he's a defensive end. He's going to get roughing the pit, you know, passer calls, you know, late hits, stuff like that. But,
well, I mean, I'm listening to you, and I'm waiting for you to tell me what, because it sounds like you kind of want to support Myles Garrett, and you kind of want to say the quarterback egged it on. What did the quarterback do that after the whistle blew that caused his helmet to be ripped off and hit him in the head with it?
So the quarterback actually tried ripping Myles Garrett's helmet off first.
Nah, he didn't try to rip his helmet off. No, he had his hand on it. I saw that. He didn't try to rip it off. Yeah, if he wanted to rip it off, he might have been able to.
Yeah, he tried to. You know, there are also, you know, things out there that showed, you know, he tried kicking him in the groin and stuff like that.
Okay,
so.
I don't know that.
And
I don't know that.
There's a lot of heat in the moment.
I think you got your fan goggles on, my friend. I do, because I did watch it. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of Pittsburgh. I'm not a fan of mm-hmm. Cleveland. I'm not at all. So I'm going to be as objective. Yeah. And I didn't watch the game live. I'm going to be as objective on these teams. Now, if it's Dan Marino out there, my favorite all-time football player, maybe I'd be biased for Dan Marino. But at the end of the day, saw the video, and the quarterback wasn't clean hands. I'm not going to argue with you there. They're all mixing it up.
Mm-hmm.
This guy ripped his helmet off, then hit him in the unprotected head with it. There's really no excuse. I don't care what the quarterback said about his mama. I don't care about any of it. I mean, at the end of the day, you have to agree. As much as you like the guy, you have to agree he went a step too far.
No, I definitely agree with you. Right, wrong, or different. Yeah. You know, he stepped out of the line. You know, he shouldn't be swinging anybody. Nobody should be swinging. You know, step away from the situation. Heat of the moment, regardless. But you know, that's just. I hear everybody talking about one side of it. You know, there's other sides of it too.
Well, obviously Pittsburgh did something. They got fined $250,000 too. So obviously they did something. So I agree with you that you know there weren't clean hands on both sides. But one guy went the step beyond. Somebody just tweeted me that he's wondering if they're calling it an assault helmet. Carry anything? Look that up and see if they're calling it an assault helmet.
Okay, I will. Yes.
Because we probably should ban that in Congress, no?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I think we probably should. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Quick break. We're back with more of your phone calls on a Free Speech Friday. Stay here.
This is the Joe PAGS Show.
All right, great to have you. It's the Joe PAGS Show, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Glad to have you along for the ride. Lots of people on the line to talk about the role of sports in our society. I'm actually getting this. So first of all, Sam found that he's not getting paid, so he's suspended without pay for the rest of the season. Look, that's a steep penalty. Now, so far this season, he's been fined $50,000 for several penalties. Miles Garrett, and also he was notably punched Delanie Walker of the Tennessee Titans and two roughing the passer plays in Jets quarterback Trevor Siemian, one of which ended his season. That's from the New York Times. So, I mean, that's just this season, it appears. So, I have a listener who posted video from earlier in the game, again, a game I didn't watch. And, Paula, you may have seen this because you were watching it. I guess earlier on, there was a situation where it looked like the Pittsburgh Steelers were pounding on the Browns quarterback. One guy looked like he was trying to kick him in the head and everything else. So that was a rough game. I mean, these are lifelong rivals anyway, right, Cleveland and Pittsburgh?
I mean, I think Baltimore.
I thought they were.
I mean, they haven't been very good. So, I mean, the bigger rivalry, I think, has been.
Well, the Browns haven't been. Pittsburgh has been good.
Yeah. And I think the bigger rivalry has been between Pittsburgh and maybe Baltimore. But, yeah, I mean, they were saying that it was just a lot of bad, you know, hits that were happening throughout the game. I didn't see what they're talking about with the Browns quarterback. I didn't see that.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that earlier on, and I'll try to grab that video. But also, I do see where the quarterback for the Steelers does grab the helmet of the other guy. He doesn't get it off, and I don't know if he's trying to get it off. But this guy does take his helmet off. And again, that's going to be heat of the moment. It's almost like a hockey player pulling the other guy's jersey off.
I don't know.
But
when you
take it and make it a weapon, now I've got an issue there. I don't know.
And I just didn't, because I was telling Kerry this earlier, I just didn't understand why the quarterback chose to go after him. When his teammates were pulling him away, like he chased after him.
He did. And but that still doesn't give the guy the right to swing the helmet at him.
Right. I just didn't understand what
I agree.
What he was thinking there.
I agree.
So that didn't help matters either.
I hear you. Interesting situation. I think the role of sports is pretty defined as we're younger. As we get older, it seems as though that line gets redefined over and over, which I find to be odd. Let me tell you about Ray J earbuds. I'm sorry, Ray J is the guy who co-founded the company. Raycons are what the earbuds are called. They are about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market. They sound amazing. The top audio brands can't beat them. Then Raycon's latest model, the E25s, are the best ones they've come out with. You get 6 hours of playtime. Bluetooth pairing is very easy, more bass, a more compact design that gives you a comfortable noise-isolating fit, unlike some of the other wireless options out there. Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet, no dangling wires or stems, perfect for on-the-go listening and for taking phone calls, too. Raycon was co-founded by Ray J, as I said, and big celebrities really give their seal of approval. It's your turn to find out what all the hype is about. Get 15% off right now because you listen to my program by going to buyraycon.com/pags. BUYRAYCON.com/pags. Let me do it again. BUYRAYCON.com/pags. 15% off right now on these great Raycon wireless earbuds. Get yourself some. Let me go to the phone lines and we'll wrap it up on with these comments. Let me go to line three, and Bill is in Florida. Bill, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Living the dream. What's happening?
Well, I just want to say I'm not taking up for Myles Garrett and his actions at all. What he did was just awful. But he is actually a pretty good kid. He graduated college with a paleontology degree. He really puts a lot of pressure on himself to be the best that there is. He works really hard. The fines that he got earlier in the season, a couple of years ago, those wouldn't even have been fines. You know, he got one for falling on top of the quarterback. He got one for getting there a step late. So, you know, those are kind of hit or miss. But what he did last night was just egregious. But he is a good kid. He's young. He just made a really, really bad
Well, mistake. I'm going to make myself clear. I've never heard of the guy before today. I'm not watching NFL football, so I never heard of the guy. And I'm not saying he's a good guy or a bad guy. In that situation, what he did was completely outlandish and uncalled for. Yeah, heat of the moment. Yes, the quarterback's grabbing his helmet, and everybody's grabbing everybody by the groin and everything else. But at the end of the day, when you turn that helmet into a violent, you know, instrument, that doesn't make any sense. At that point, you have to know, having played football his entire life, that's a step too far. You know what I mean?
Agreed. No, I agree 110%. Yeah. I just think, you know, we got to keep it in perspective. He's a good kid. He just made a really bad mistake.
All right, brother. I hear you, Bill. I appreciate that. Let me go to Andy. I've got about a minute for you if you want to tell me how to fix the national debt as part of Free Speech Friday. Let's go.
Hey, sorry. Hey, big fan.
Thanks.
You had me on a few weeks ago talking about Obama's legacy. You know, right. I love Trump, moderate Democrat.
Sure.
I have an idea. So you know how bonds are printed? Like, you have the principal, and then you print the interest. That's how money is created.
Yes.
The principal
yep.
is paid back with money. So another theory is you could print the principal as well once the bond matures. I mean, that would inflate the dollar. But so working on that principle in reverse – so we, the people, or the government, borrows us anywhere from $20 to $30 trillion. Now, that's debt, and now it's 0% interest bonds. So so we'll split them over into 360, over 30 years, 360 monthly payments. And each month, the money that is printed from the bond principal of each month maturing, you know, 1 month long, 2 months long, goes off to pay the debt that was originated by us borrowing the money from, like, the money is borrowed from nowhere, and then it's kind of like how a bond is printed.
Yeah. Andy, a couple of things, and I'm almost out of time. If you print any money at all, it makes the dollar weaker, not stronger. Second thing is you're also making an assumption.
I got
to let you go because I'm almost out of time. The second thing is you can't buy enough to keep up with the rate of debt. We keep on spending way too much. You have to fix spending first. Got to go. Coming back after this, stay in the Joe Pag Show.
This is the Joe Pag Show. This is the Joe Pag Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there. Some great news stories, sign up for the newsletter as well. And we're on Newsmax TV, glad to have you here. The Joe Pags Show coming your way on a Friday. Strings. Where are my horns? Exactly right. That's what I do. Piece of cheese. I had some cheese today. And Carrie's back. Carrie Lockie, how you doing?
Hey, just fine.
What day is it anyway? Where is Bob Guthrie? Let's go.
Friday.
Uh-huh. Thank God it's
Friday. Thank God it is Friday.
Yes, it is.
Friday.
Friday.
Uh-huh. Thank God it's...
Thank God it is Friday.
You know what? Let's make it a Free Speech Friday. Let's go. Oh, yes. Uh-huh. That's right. Bring it down. Take it up a notch. Whatever's on your mind, fair game. If I know something about it, we'll talk about it. If not, we'll move on. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. I appreciate you stopping by. Carrie, how's it going? You good?
Yep, just fine.
Making it happen, getting it done?
Yep, all that above, yes.
A little bit of an odd delay with you today, but you look good, you sound good, we're just going to go with it.
We appreciate
you, Miss Carrie.
You do. Oh.
So we talked last hour about sports and where we put sports stars on the list. I like to, in my inaugural hour on the air, and again, some of the stations, this is your first hour that you're hearing it, I get that. But I like to not talk about the big politics of the day in the first hour if we can avoid it. There's a reason behind that. I think that you work all day long, you jump in the car, you're out to dinner, you're doing whatever. The last thing you want to do is get smacked in the face with impeachment and Adam Schiff and the president and Zelensky and everything else. But we certainly would be remiss if we didn't cover it, and we're going to cover it at length now. Bottom of this hour, I'm going to have Tracy Beans on. She is a reporter. UncoverDC.com is her website. We've had her on before. I think she does an amazing job. We're going to talk about what it is that we saw. Now, so far this week, we have 2 days of hearings and testimony. And the first day, the star witnesses, Kent and Taylor, were absolute flops. Stefanik, who is the member of Congress from New York, made them look ridiculous. In fact, spelled out for the American people, and I retweeted and posted that video 2 days ago, explained in less than 5 minutes what's really going on here. The Obama administration turned a blind eye to Ukraine, basically took the side of Russia when it came to Ukraine and Crimea, pulled away the defenses for our friends in Eastern Europe that George W. Bush set up to protect them, did not give any military aid nor any money. Now, there was the $1 billion in loan guarantees, but that, of course, had the stipulation, the quid pro quo was, you must fire the prosecutor, according to Joe Biden. The Obama administration, in fact, didn't help Ukraine much at all as compared to what this administration has done. President Donald Trump did send the money, did send the aid. The defense items in that budget was given. He didn't treat Ukraine as the Obama administration did. He actually treated them better as somebody that we wanted to be friends with and allies with so that we can find out what sort of corruption is happening there and what sort of corruption is happening in Russia and what Ukraine had to do with it. And also what Joe Biden and his son had to do with it, if anything. So what we're finding out, what we found out in the first day, was not only was there no there, Taylor and Kent actually hurt Adam Schiff in the witch hunt. So today, it continued. And while it was going on, I guess the president tweeted out about this this woman, Yovanovitch, about how horrible she was at her job. Now, Carrie, as the president tweets that, she's literally giving testimony,
yes,
right?
Yes.
He's live tweeting, reacting to watching her on television. Did she know he tweeted?
No.
How'd she find out?
Adam Schiff.
What?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. The committee chairman stopped the actual hearing, read the tweet to her as she was testifying. Do you think that her hearing that tweet might have changed her line of thinking or maybe changed what she might have said?
Maybe.
Because the allegation was that somehow Trump witness tampered.
Yeah.
Or intimidated the witness.
A threat, yeah.
Right. She didn't know about it. How could he do that if she didn't know about it? She only found out about it because Adam Schiff opened his fat mouth. Purposely, of course, so that he could say, well, that, of course, is obstruction. Carrie, you ever notice that everything the president does is obstruction in the minds of these idiots?
Yeah, I've heard that a lot lately. Or in the last hour.
So Devin Nunes is the ranking Republican on this committee, the Intelligence Committee. And he's speaking, and he's basically making a point that he's not sure why Yovanovitch is even there today, he said.
Not exactly sure what the ambassador is doing here today. This is the House Intelligence Committee that's now turned into the House Impeachment Committee.
Okay, that's a good point. It's exactly what it's turned into. It's not the Intelligence Committee. It's the Impeachment Committee. Because this should really be happening in the Judiciary Committee. It's not, for some reason, but it should be. So Jim Jordan, who was brought in as the attack dog, who, by the way, Carrie, refuses to wear a jacket. How horrible is that?
It's terrible, isn't it?
No jacket, Jim.
Oh, my goodness. A travesty.
The gall of the man to show up without a jacket on. I don't get it. But he's sitting there, and he's questioning Yovanovitch, and Adam Schiff gives him a chance to finish, but then Adam Schiff says, my patience is wearing thin or some crap, and Jordan says, ours is too. Here's the actual back and forth.
I have indulged you with extra time, but
I appreciate it.
Indulgence is wearing out.
I appreciate it.
There is a question,
Our indulgence wore out with you a long time ago, Mr. Chairman. I'll tell you that.
Bam. No jacket, Jordan. You know what I mean? He's not playing around. And then Jim Jordan continues because, again, he's doing a great job to expose his witch hunt for exactly what it is. Here we go.
Democrats have been vowing to oust President Trump since the day he was elected. So America.
Actually, for some reason, that's Nunes. Here's the Jordan bite.
If recalling Ambassador Yovanovitch was part of some scheme by Trump and Pompeo and Giuliani to get President Zelensky to do an investigation, why would they replace her with the Democrats' first witness, their star witness, Bill Taylor? I mean, if that's the plan, not the best plan I've ever seen put together.
And he's right. I mean, she shows up and isn't even on the same path as the other guy. By the way, it's very simple. I think it was Mark Meadows or Jordan or somebody just very directly said, did you witness the president committing any crime? No. I mean, why was she there other than just to present another face and maybe have it be a face that would be, I don't know, more endearing to those who are watching because it's a woman and she was out of a job, and how dare the president make the decision to take somebody out of the job that he doesn't want to be in the job. Of course, that's his complete purview. But at one point, the representative from New York, Stefanik, tries to continue. Was it Nunes that gave her the time? I think it was. I'm going to take the rest of my time.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And I'm going to give this to my colleague, Representative Stefanik, to which Schiff says, no, you can't do that. Which, of course, you can do that. We can do that much more with Tracy Beans at the bottom of the hour. But here's Adam Schiff himself, the Intelligence Committee chairman. He's asking Yovanovitch to react right after the president tweeted that tweet that I mentioned earlier, where everybody started freaking out about how it's witness intimidation, something she would not have known about if he didn't do this.
But would you like to respond to the president's attack that everywhere you went turned bad?
I mean, I don't think I have such powers, not in Mogadishu, Somalia, and not in other places. I actually think that where I've served over the years, I and others have demonstrably made things better, you know, for the U.S. as well as for the countries that I've served in. Ukraine, for example, where there are huge challenges, including, you know, on the issue that we're discussing today of corruption. Huge challenges, but they've made a lot of progress since 2014, including in the years that I was there. And I think in part, the Ukrainian people get the most credit for that. But a part of that credit goes to the work of the United States and to me as the ambassador in Ukraine.
What did he expect she would say, Carrie? Hey, the president says you suck. Do you suck?
I know.
What are we going to say? Well, I got to agree with him. I really wasn't very good at this job. I was really not very good at all. In fact, if I weren't me, I'd fire me. It's like you saying, "Hey, Joe, I got an email. Guy says you suck as a talk show host. What do you think?" Well, damn it, Carrie, he's got a point. I got to tell you this.
Yeah, no,
and I'm not bringing it.
Not be saying that.
No, I would say screw that guy. Of course, I was good at the job. Did Adam Schiff expect you? No, actually. Adam Schiff expected she would do exactly what she did, which is defend herself. But then he doesn't stop there. He continues to ask even more about the tweet that she had no idea was even tweeted.
Now the president in real time is attacking you. What effect do you think that has on other witnesses' willingness to come forward and expose wrongdoing?
Well, it's very intimidating.
What? Designed to intimidate, is it not?
I mean, I can't speak to what the president is trying to do, but I think the effect is to be intimidating.
He's defending himself.
Well, I want to let you know, Ambassador, that some of us here take witness intimidation very, very seriously.
Yeah, yeah, but would you like to respond to the president's attack that...
Stop it. Knock it out. What's the matter with you? So Adam Schiff is suddenly, he's gonna stop the bully. Now, Adam Schiff is a wiry, weird-looking guy. And I don't think that he ever played the role of bully, but maybe he was bullied, and that's why he's trying to be the bully now as the chairman of this committee. That's all I can think of. Now, here's that back and forth where Adam Schiff, the chairman, does not allow the Congress member, the Congresswoman from New York, to speak and take the rest of the time that Devin Nunes was trying to give her.
Will the chairman continue to prohibit witnesses from answering Republican questions as you've done in closed hearings and as you did this week when you interrupted our questions?
That is not a proper point of order. The gentleman will suspend.
Mr. Speaker, I have it.
The gentleman is not recognized.
Mr. Chairman, I have a point of order.
The gentleman is not recognized.
I have a point of order, though.
The gentleman is not recognized. I do want to respond. I allowed the ranking member to.
I have a point of order.
The gentleman is not recognized.
But would you?
He's not recognized. The gentleman is not recognized. He's got a point of order. And the chairman would not allow the point of order to happen. It's a sham. It's a witch hunt. No more, no less. I've got a couple of more sound bites to bring you, some more information from that hearing today, which really, really came up as a vast failure by Adam Schiff and his committee. Listen, you bring up your best and brightest and your biggest stars that are going to make your case early on. This is day two of the actual hearings. So far, he's failed miserably. Nancy Pelosi, to save face and to save her party, should say, dude, we should stop this right now. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Your thoughts on day two of the actual hearings at the House of Representatives. The Intelligence Committee, for some reason, doing the hearings when it should be the Judiciary Committee. And at the end of the day, Adam Schiff has failed miserably in his attempt to prove some sort of wrongdoing by the president. In fact, Devin Nunes today, the ranking member, the Republican, highest member in the Intelligence Committee or on the Intelligence Committee, read the initial email or the initial phone call. Kerry, is his opening statement the original phone call? So we have his opening statement here. I'm not sure. Let me check this.
Remember.
Here's Devin Nunes in his opening statement today.
Democrats have been vowing to oust President Trump since the day he was elected. So Americans can rightly suspect that his phone call with President Zelensky was used as an excuse for the Democrats to fulfill their Watergate fantasies. But I'm glad that on Wednesday, after the Democrats staged 6 weeks of secret depositions in the basement of the Capitol, like some kind of strange cult, the American people finally got to see this farce for themselves.
Exactly right. And he's right about that. He also read into the record the first phone call President Trump made with Zelensky after Zelensky won the election. It was in April. And it was all congratulatory. And remember, there was an allegation that an invitation to the White House, Kerry, you remember this, was somehow stipulated or was on a stipulation that Zelensky do what Trump wanted.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In that phone call that was exposed by Devin Nunes today, nothing of that sort was ever said. The president invited the other president, Zelensky, to the White House, no strings attached. Did you hear that when he was reading the phone call? Did you hear any strings?
I didn't hear that.
If you do this, you have to do that. Nothing like that, right?
No.
Of course not. Adam Schiff has no leg to stand on. Nancy Pelosi is being embarrassed right now. And AOC, and we'll dive into this a little bit with Tracy Beans in a little bit. AOC herself, the face, the real leader of the Democrat Party, the actress AOC, she actually admitted that we have to go through with this so that he's not reelected. She's not the first Democrat to admit that we're only doing this to stop him from getting reelected. Wake up, America. They're playing games with you. Let me go to the phone line, say hello, and welcome to line two. It's Jim in Maryland. Jim, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, Joe. Hey, I like that Thank God It's Friday sample. I had that album, and I'm not ashamed to say so.
No, it's good stuff, my friend. Thank you.
It really is. Hey, I'm outraged and having a cow. You know, I watched some of the testimony today, and, you know, this former Ambassador Yovanovitch came back from Ukraine with some hurt feelings, and the Democrats wrapped their arms around her. Well, what about the late Ambassador Chris Stevens and three fellow Americans?
Right.
They came back in a box.
Right.
And I don't buy into this. I mean,
and the Democrats lied about it. And the Democrats lied about it. They lied about it being a video. And it was just an impromptu attack.
How many
that
weeks?
Was all BS. It was a big fat lie.
I counted up to 2 weeks, all of them, the whole Obama and his whole administration came out there lying on every show they went on to.
Yep.
Video this, video that. And it's like, and then to see when Hillary Clinton came before Trey Gowdy and his special committee, she made the statement that she had emailed her daughter, Chelsea, saying that, this was a planned terrorist attack that's within 24 hours.
And she also emailed, she emailed the leader of Saudi Arabia or somebody also saying the same similar thing. You're right. And also in that statement or in that hearing, she said, what difference does it make at this point how they died? Basically saying it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it was a bunch of people in the street or some sort of a collective of terrorists who got together. They're dead. Got four dead Americans. Right? Let's move on. And at that point, you found out who she was. Yeah.
And the only thing I can say is Mo Larry the cheese. Mo Larry the cheese.
All right. Gotcha. Mo Larry the cheese. I guess that's a reference to the Three Stooges. And again, I haven't watched the Three Stooges in a long time, so I'm not really sure what the reference was. But what I do like when you get somebody from the Baltimore area, they say things like on instead of on. They say on.
On.
Turn the light on.
On.
I think that's cool. I like that. All right, Pat, you've got less than a minute. Make it fast. Let's go.
Hi, I just wanted to say I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I'm new to it, and I really love what you're saying. And
thank you.
We feel exactly the same way. I don't know how these people are getting away with what they're doing, and that, you know, and even back to Hillary, since your last call brought it up, we still don't know what happened in Benghazi.
Right.
And their families deserve to know what happened there.
I could not agree more.
You know,
Pat, I appreciate you. No, thank you. I appreciate you liking the program. More and more people are finding it. We appreciate you doing that. It's 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. When we come back, going to be Tracy Beans. She is stationed in Washington, D.C., so she got a great pair of waders to wade through the swamp. She's got a website called uncoverdc.com, and she does just that. She tells the truth, a straight shooter, does investigations. When you find out what she reveals about the guy Bill Taylor, about what board he was on, about what Ukrainian company and who was financing the company, it's going to really wake you up. You're going to say, holy mackerel, and that guy was their star witness? Carrie, you might not even know about this. Make sure you listen to what she uncovers. It's pretty amazing.
Okay, I will. 888-941-PAGS,
joepags.com. Keep it right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there, plus Newsmax TV. It's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you here. Glad to have back Tracy Beans. She, of course, from a great website called uncoverdc.com. She's a great investigative reporter. Tracy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm living the dream. Glad to have you back, and I wanted to have you back soon because, holy crap, everything's happening in D.C. And it has been for a long time, but this is sort of the culmination for me of the American public seeing how inept the left is, how horribly deceitful Adam Schiff is, and why voting Democrat in the last election, in my opinion, not putting this on you, was a really, really bad move for the House of Representatives. So let's break down what we've seen so far. Adam Schiff, the chairman of this committee, that I don't think should even be doing this. It should be the Judiciary Committee. And this is the Intel Committee for some reason. He has brought two star witnesses out. This is 2 days ago when this thing started. Taylor and Kent. These two were not only a bust, I think they really hurt what his intention was to begin with. Let's start with Taylor, if you don't mind, because you really break down who this guy is and what his relationships were over in Ukraine. But what's the issue with him that you uncovered?
So in the original deposition where he was testifying behind closed doors, they leaked out his 15-page opening statement, which mentioned his resume. You know, USAID, U.S.-Ukraine Business Council, all those other organizations, Atlantic Council Cooperative, stuff like that. And then he mentions he was sitting on the board of a small Ukrainian NGO. And that's basically all he says about it. I wanted to find out what that was, so I did. It's called the East Europe Foundation, and it is a small Ukrainian NGO. But the problem is it's funded in large part by George Soros's Open Society Foundation.
Get out of here. What?
Surprise, right?
And that wasn't disclosed. I just some small NGO. You don't have to worry about it. There's nothing to see here.
Right. He really glossed right over it. And, you know, that's why, obviously. And, you know, he didn't sit on the board of this NGO while he was ambassador. But he did sit on the board of a small NGO with funding from Open Society Foundation, which is something as a board member, you don't accept funding without knowing where it's coming from and who it's coming from. So there's collaboration there. And, you know, we George Soros has actually 5 offices for Open Society in Ukraine and 3 in the United States, just to give you an idea of his stranglehold in Ukraine. Yeah. So
it's Tracy Beans, uncoverdc.com. Go to her website right now. It's very interesting information because that obviously shows a background of somebody who is on the board of an organization that obviously is a far left-wing progressive organization. The same people that want open borders, that want globalist society here and across the world. The same people that want district attorneys in local counties around this country to ignore prostitution and don't worry about drug use. I mean, that's really what we're talking about. And this guy sat on the board of an organization that took funding from that guy. I mean, when that was discovered by you, great job. Why wasn't it discovered by Republicans before this guy was even questioned? Why wasn't he called to task on it?
I don't know why they didn't call him to task. You know, Breitbart also had a great dig on him as well that uncovered a lot of stuff too. And we haven't seen any of it mentioned. I think really, honestly, the reason is they don't need it. They really don't need it. They can dissect this as it is. Jim Jordan did a fantastic job on Wednesday when he told him, you know, he asked him a bunch of questions. And then Taylor says, well, you know, what he did when he held back that aid is he ruined the, you know, the strength of the U.S.-Ukraine relationship. And Jordan's like, we're not here to talk about that. That's not an issue here.
Right.
It's, you know, whether or not there was a quid pro quo between the president and Ukraine, and there was not. That's not these guys' jobs to dictate policy and to work. That's just not what they're there for.
You go there and you represent our best interest is what an ambassador does. It is Tracy Beans, B-E-A-N-Z, and her website is uncoverdc.com. One of the first sound bites I saw from Bill Taylor was him saying, let me be clear. I haven't heard any of this first person. I didn't hear any of it. I'm just telling you what people told me they heard. So in other words, I'm here to tell you I've got a bunch of hearsay if you'd like to hear it. And a bunch of rumor mill stuff, if you'd like to hear that as well. I mean, he really did say almost those exact words, right? I mean, at that point, why don't you just dismiss the guy? Oh, so you don't know anything then?
Yeah, why don't we just bring in Sondland and talk to him? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
We don't need to bring you in here to tell us what Sondland said when we have access to Sondland. It's not like he passed away or something and we can't get him anymore.
Right.
And that's, you know, and even the left in the hearing was trying to say hearsay evidence is better than firsthand evidence.
Yeah, well, Joaquin Castro, who's a lawyer, who's from my city, San Antonio, he actually alleged that hearsay was cool. And I'm going, dude, what law school did you go to, and where have you gone in front of a presiding judge who said, hey, Joaquin, what kind of hearsay do you have for me today?
Yeah, you know, can you imagine a justice system in which, what kind of crimes could we get them on if that were all we needed?
I can't imagine Judge Judy accepting hearsay, okay? It is Tracy Beans, uncoverdc.com. So Representative Stefanik from New York, who's a rising star that I hadn't heard of before, absolutely for about 4.5 minutes takes Kent and Taylor to task. asks them direct questions about how the Obama administration, in fact, didn't do anything about Crimea, about Ukraine, about helping out that country that we wanted to be an ally, didn't do anything about corruption that happened under his watch, didn't give them a military aid, in fact, rolled over on the side of Putin against Ukraine over and over again, while this president and this administration has, in fact, done all of the things to help Ukraine and to try to uncover corruption and to figure out exactly what's going on when it comes to Russia v. Ukraine. I mean, that was exposed very clearly by her, was it not?
Yeah, actually, she was actually the one who got James Comey to trip all over himself when she asked why the Gang of Eight was not briefed on the Spygate operation that was going on, Crossfire Hurricane. So she's been she's been good for a while. She's also the youngest woman in Congress, or she was anyway, from her district. She's great.
Which is amazing. Yeah,
yeah, she's wonderful. She's been on fire because it's just factual. I mean, it's not hard. These are facts. And facts are very powerful. You know, when all you've got is, especially today, like the victim, she's the victim. Yovanovitch is a victim and she's a poor woman. And when it's emotion versus facts, it's easy for the American people to see.
Yeah.
There's nothing here. Like, legitimately, there's no case here. None.
I couldn't agree with you more. When I was watching Devin Nunes today, he was reading some things and saying, and then he said, I'm going to give the rest of my time to Representative Stefanik. And Adam Schiff didn't let him.
No.
How is that? I mean, the procedure is you own the time. It's your time. You can step aside for anybody. Adam Schiff is trying to pretend, or maybe he made a new policy or new regulation, that you can only give it to your counsel. Well, I've never heard of that. I mean, I've been watching these sort of hearings and these sort of committees, Tracy, for years and years. And always, whoever is speaking can give his or her time to anybody. They could give it to the janitor if they wanted to. So yeah. What was that all about?
Well, rules for thee, but not for me, right? I mean, that's what we seem to see over and over again. I think that was a bit of flusteredness, if that's a word, because Devin Nunes had just read into the record the transcript of the first call with Zelensky, which indicated literally zero condition for meeting at the White House. And that blew up the entire story again. So he was a little bit on edge, and I don't know if he expected or knew what Stefanik was going to say, and probably for that reason wouldn't let her speak.
Well, he knew that she was going to do a great job. Again, it's Tracy Beans, B-E-A-N-Z. Go and follow her on Twitter. Is it at Tracy Beans? What is your Twitter?
It's at Tracy Beans.
There you go. So go follow her right now. Tracy with no E. It's T-R-A-C-Y-B-E-A-N-Z.
Thanks.
UncoveredDC.com. Go in and check out the website. Amazing storytelling and reporting on exactly what's going on. As I'm watching this unfold, you see what the left's attack is on Jim Jordan, right? This is all they have.
Yeah. Are you talking about the wrestling incident that's recycled now?
No. Oh, okay. That's going to be brought up forever, and it's there's nothing there. That's a complete nothing burger.
Yep.
Their complaint about Jim Jordan is that he's not showing dignity because he's not wearing a jacket.
Oh, no.
Tracy,
really?
That's the complaint. Have you not seen the Twitters?
I haven't.
A jacket, Jim. Oh, yeah. That's the big complaint. So Jim Jordan was brought on, and I wonder what your thoughts are as a reporter on that beat every day.
Mm-hmm.
When you heard that they were going to bring Jim Jordan on, I was a bit skeptical. How is Nunes going to have any power, any authority? Is it going to usurp him? But, man, I think that it's gone above and beyond what they could have hoped for Jim Jordan to do.
Yeah, he's been fantastic. The four of them, there have been like kind of four standouts, Stefanik, Jordan, Ratcliffe, and Nunes.
Yeah.
And they've really done a great job of just asking the right questions and making the right points to get the Republicans' message across that there's no there at all with this thing. Strong members, glad they're on our side.
Yeah.
Ratcliffe completely decimated the story again when he asked Taylor, did he think that Zelensky had credibility and integrity and you think he'd lie? No. Okay, well, here, let me read some of the things he said to 300 media outlets.
I mean, it's laughable because it's so stupid. What bothers me is that so many people are just blinded by it, indoctrinated by it, and they're just you know, groupthink people that want to accept anything they hear. First of all, Adam Schiff would not be the person that I would ever say I'm going to follow his lead because he lied about what was in the transcript, completely wholesale lied until somebody tweeted about it to a representative. He wasn't even called out about it for 20 minutes. He lied about having Russia collusion evidence that he would reveal soon. That's, you know, the Mueller report's over. He never revealed it because it doesn't exist. The guy is just not telling the truth. So why people would get behind him like the Pied Piper is stunning to me. But I want to talk about this tweet today that the president sent out.
Good.
Adam Schiff reads a tweet that was sent out during, what was her name? I can't think of her name off the top of my head.
Yovanovitch.
Okay, so Yovanovitch is sitting there, and she's giving her testimony. And while that's happening, the president's watching it live. and live tweets it, and the chairman of the committee, unbeknownst to the person who's testifying, reads the tweet, and then people on Twitter and people on the left are all saying, well, he was intimidating her. She didn't know it happened until Schiff told her it happened. So was it intimidating? Was he right to read that as she was being questioned? And was there, because I guess Ken Starr is now the new, he's the big hero of the left today because he said, well, that was inappropriate and somebody should have talked to him before he sent out the tweet. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, first of all, Ken Starr has been under fire from the left the entire time because he's been supporting the president and all of a sudden now he's their best friend. Yes.
Right.
It's ridiculous. He's the one who intimidated the witness. I saw you tweet that earlier and I was like, yes, absolutely, because she would never have known. And some people are like, well, she's not done testifying yet. And I'm like, they're not going to call her in the Senate. She's useless. There's no information that she could possibly provide that means anything to this whatsoever.
Right.
There's nothing there.
Without a doubt. And the president saying that she wasn't very good at the job. How is that intimidating her? She was literally giving testimony as he tweeted that, so she couldn't see it unless she said, hold on, I think the president just tweeted something. Let me read it. She would have had no knowledge whatsoever had Schiff not brought it up. Schiff brings it up as intimidation, and as you said, and as I tweeted earlier, of course it was him intimidating her. It was Adam Schiff trying to say, look at what the president's saying about you. Isn't this horrible? And she would have had no knowledge whatsoever.
Yeah, he even pulled victim blaming when the right was questioning her today. It's really sick. You know, it makes me laugh in a way because Fox News went nuts over this. They went nuts over it today. All the hosts, everybody was talking about how it was obstruction of justice. And I'm just sitting there like, stop watching the legacy media. Stop it. Just stop. Yeah.
Soon Fox will be saying it's bribery and extortion as well, which is what they changed from quid pro quo the other day. All right, last question is Tracy Beans, B-E-A-N-Z. Go to her website, uncoverdc.com. Is it lost on anybody? I don't think it's lost on you that the left is literally saying, Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi, and the others are saying, we're here to defend Ukraine from this horrible extortionist Donald Trump. Well, at the same time, for that to be true, Tracy, they're calling Zelensky a flat-out liar. Zelensky himself has said it didn't happen in the first call, didn't happen in the second call. I've never felt leveraged. I've never felt like I had to do anything. I had a great conversation. I didn't even know that they were holding back military aid, and if they were, we eventually got it, and Obama never sent us any of it. Is that lost on anybody? I think it's lost on a lot of people that Zelensky is being called a liar by the people who say they're defending him.
Yeah, I know. The same people that don't defend this country. Yes. Yeah. I don't think it's lost on people with brains, and those are the only people that really matter, to be honest, because I don't think the ratings were very good on Wednesday, and I doubt that they were much better today. We'll see what happens for this next hearing that's coming up. I think it's Monday.
Well, I mean, this is early on still, and he has failed horribly, Schiff has, in his star witness upbringing. And I think that Nancy Pelosi is really going to take a chance on the Democratic Party's future if they decide to actually vote on impeachment, because so far they've shown nothing.
I know, and AOC just said yesterday this entire thing is for unity within the caucus and to stop President Trump from being elected in 2020. Thank you so much, AOC, for sharing your honest thoughts with the world.
Yeah, she's echoing what Al Green said months ago. We have to impeach him or else he might win again.
Yep.
Tracy Beans, go to uncoverdc.com. Follow her at Tracy Beans on Twitter. Really glad to have you on today. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Back after this on the Joe Pags Show. Stay right here.
You're listening to Joe Pags.
Hey, great to have you. It is the Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Invariably, I'm hearing, what's that website again? What's your name again? Website is uncoverdc.com, uncoverdc.com, and the website, actually, that is the website. Her name is Tracy Beans, B-E-A-N-Z, and Tracy with no E. So go and follow her on all the social media as well. Does a great job. Let me tell you about Raycon wireless earbuds. You need a great set of wireless earbuds. I have mine. They're Raycons. The reason why I have them is because they sound great. And honestly, you're paying about half the price of the other premium audio brands that you know, that you've heard of, right? Raycon's latest model, the E25, is their best ones yet. Get you 6 hours of playtime easy to pair up with any Bluetooth device that you happen to have. More bass, a more compact design that gives you a comfortable noise-isolating fit. Unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet. No dangling wires or stems. You know, those were cool at first. Now you're like, okay, can we do something better? Yes, you can. They're perfect for on-the-go listening and for taking phone calls, too. Raycon was founded by Ray J, a musician, so you know they've got to sound right to his ears, and they're going to sound right to yours as well. Check them out. Find out what all the hype is about. Get 15% off because you watch or listen to my program. Go to buyraycon.com/pags, buyraycon.com/pags. Get 15% off right now. Buyraycon.com/pags. Get it done. We go to the phone lines. Phone calls coming in on impeachment. Don't have a ton of time, but I do want to hear from you. David, what's going on?
Hey, Joe. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I don't know why y'all keep picking on poor little Adam Schiff.
Go on.
You know, the Foghorn Leghorn cartoon show, did you ever watch?
Yes.
Had it. There was a little character on there, little Chicken Hawk, that was always trying to get him and carry him off. And Adam Schiff.
Chicken Schiff. He said it right. Paula, we're good. I think we're good. We don't have to dump that. Thank you, sir. Appreciate the phone call. Appreciate the time. Bruce, Florida, got 1 minute. Make it happen.
The issue now stands where the statute for the whistleblower, the criteria was changed. And that's the big issue. Who changed it? When was it changed? And why was it changed?
Well, what do you mean the criteria? In what way?
Is looking at that.
In what way? How was it changed?
Well, it was changed from firsthand knowledge to secondhand.
Well, that was changed by the IG, accepted it when he shouldn't have. I mean, that's when that went down, Bruce, and I appreciate it. The IG, the Inspector General, or that the DNI? What the hell is it, the DNI? Is that what it is, Carrie? I think something like that. That was changed. They should have rejected it when it was offered to them because it has to be firsthand. It always had to be. To accept it was already wrong. To also not present the so-called whistleblower, who is really the leaker, that's also wrong. To not name the person is also wrong. You have to be able to without a doubt, face your accuser in this due process system that we have of justice. So it's been done wrong. It's been handled incorrectly the entire time. But that doesn't matter because, as Donald Trump Jr. said on this program, the end game is get rid of Donald Trump. How do we get there? They know what the result has to be. They just don't know how to get there yet. Got to go on TV. Have a good weekend. We're back on radio. Stay here.
Joe Pags. This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Also, the live video feed. Glad to have you along for the ride. The Joe Pags Show coming your way on a Friday.
Freedom.
Uh-huh. Say what? Bring it down. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-doo-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-doo-da-ba-da-ba-doo. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Whatever's on your mind, fair game. If I know something about it, we'll talk about it. If not, we will move on. I don't think you deserve it, but whatever.
Oh, wow. I wonder, this has been a long time.
I don't know. No,
yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. He don't let us say much. Want to hear some more.
Carrie Lucky Friday. Please, Joe, just one day. Let her talk to me, Joe. Uh-huh. Come on, Friday, girl. Tell me what you got to say. What you got to say. On my way home. Uh-huh. She really turns me on. Whatever. With a magic voice. If you say so.
She's gone. She's gone. She my Friday girl. She makes it party time. Yeah. Carrie Lucky Friday, it makes me feel alright. Be my Friday girl.
Oh, you're dancing to this one, huh?
Oh, yeah. That's good. That's good stuff, man.
Whatever. Carry. Be my Friday girl. Oh, baby. Carry Lockie. Carry. Carry Lockie Friday. Oh, now bring it to us, girl. There you go. A little Carrie Lockie Friday. Right? Oh, and now, even your buddy Brad was like, wow, Carrie on a Friday? I guess Brad didn't realize you were off yesterday.
Everybody's being a smart aleck about it. Oh, you're here on Friday? What? What?
Show was so good yesterday that they didn't know that you weren't here, to be honest. Wow. Free speech Free speech Friday. Glad to have you along for the ride. We want to go Hillary Clinton. We want to go Frozen. What do we want to do?
Oh, let's do Frozen.
All right, let's do Frozen. Because it turns out, this has to happen or else people will be very upset.
Apparently. From CNN, speculation over Elsa's sexuality is ramping up in anticipation of Frozen 2. Yes, people actually are interested in whether the Disney character is gay. Here's the backstory. In 2016, Twitter got behind a hashtag Get Elsa a Girlfriend campaign for the sequel to the hit 2013 film. And when the first trailer for Frozen 2 dropped in February 2019, some were convinced the character of Iduna, voiced by Evan Rachel Wood, was the Ice Queen's new love interest. The theory got even bigger when social media started circulating a story by NPC Daily headlined, "It's official, and Disney announces Elsa will be a lesbian in Frozen 2 in March." And the problem was NPC Daily is a satire site. The story is totally not true, but that hasn't stopped people from hoping Elsa's struggle to come to terms with her powers in Frozen marked her as both a feminist and an outsider, and she doesn't have the prince boyfriend that's typical of these kinds of characters. And for the record, Disney never has addressed Elsa's or any of the other characters' sexuality, and don't look to the woman who voices Elsa, actress Idina Menzel, to be able to tell us either. In 2015, Menzel awkwardly had to let it go during a talk show appearance after she tried to talk about whether Elsa was looking for a gentleman friend. A video of the appearance made the rounds on social media. What do we know is that Frozen 2 hits theaters November 22nd, and it looks to be intense. As for whom Elsa loves, we are sure the wondering never bothered her anyway.
There you go. Carrie, can you give me a reason as a mother, as an American, as just a human, why there's a need for Elsa to be gay? Is there something that I'm missing?
I cannot.
Polo, anything on this? There's some need? I mean, it's better because this animated character is gay because?
Because, I don't know. So people can be shook and woke, I guess. I don't know.
Shook and woke. Sam, anything? Elsa has to be gay?
I just think it's people wanting more than some companies are willing to give.
I mean,
I like how that article ended. That's kind of funny.
Yeah, it was. It was written very, very, very funny, very witty. So I need to know, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Do you need Elsa to be gay? You need some Disney character to come out as gay? I mean, I'm guessing like Ellen did 20 years ago now, plus, probably. They need her to actually go to a microphone like Ellen did, like at an airport terminal, and say, "I'm gay" on the microphone? Then hire gay-friendly plumbers and gay-friendly, you know, delivery drivers and gay-friendly mechanics? We have to do that because it's better. Why? I've never understood why that's better, why that's necessary. Because gay people don't feel included in the animated character genre?
That's
why? There's not enough gay representation in animated characters on screen. And Disney must do this. Now, Disney, look, they asked for this. They have gay days where it's like a week long where you've got the gay people not only invited, but pretty much take the place over. For some reason, this social justice warrior stuff, maybe it's some way to try to balance out how there was some racial overtones early on in Disney. I don't know. I have no idea. I have no clue, but I know this. I've never watched a movie or an animated anything and thought to myself, man, I really need them to be straight. Like, I don't watch The Will and Grace, but if I did, I wouldn't say those characters really need to be straight characters. I'm not sure why they have to be so gay. I'm not sure I get it. Is there, those of you who have young children who will love going to see Frozen 2, the first Frozen 6 years ago was great. Do you need Elsa to be gay? 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. This goes hand in hand with the story I read yesterday that says GLAAD, Gay Lesbian Alliance for something or other, they need network television to have 20% of its characters by 2025 to be gay, lesbian, trans, or bi. That's what they need. That's what they, already it's over 10%, which is more than double what studies show the actual gay, lesbian, trans population is. So already it's 10%, so they're overrepresented. But now they need it to be fully one-fifth of all characters on network television in primetime need to be gay or lesbian or trans or whatever or bi. And if you don't do that, somehow network television is failing. You've got people who seem to be spending their entire lives counting faces, counting names. I mean, this is a major issue. It's a major issue because entertainment companies should do just that, entertain. If having a bunch of gay characters gets you more money and gets more people watching, it gets more people entertained, then do that. But just some social justice warrior, politically correct garbage on social networking, pushing a company this harshly. And I get the feeling from Disney that they might give in at some point. That to me is backward. That's not what entertainment was ever supposed to be. It wasn't supposed to be, we demand you do this and then you do it. No, you sing, you dance, you do a radio show, you play sports, you play music, whatever you do. If enough people like it, they go and see it. Frozen was very successful, as far as I know. They wouldn't be doing a sequel if it weren't. So why do they have to change the basis of the movie? I didn't watch it and think to myself, I wonder if she likes men or women. I didn't think that was part of the story, was it? I don't know. Carrie, anything on this?
I never saw it. My kids never saw it.
But you never saw Frozen?
No. Mm-mm.
Wow. Wow.
I never did. No, my kids.
Poor children.
Oh, please.
No, they would have liked it. Come on. Boys and girls both liked it.
My sons didn't want to see it, so they weren't interested.
Wow.
So,
Holly, you seen it?
No.
Wow. Real men see Frozen. There's something wrong if you didn't see Frozen.
I didn't say there was anything wrong. It never really caught my attention.
All right. I got you. Great musical. Good stuff. 888-941-PAGS. 888-941-7247. This push to make everything more gay and more trans and more other than the usual, regular, or norm is odd to me. And they're not going to stop. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay here.
Joe Pags.
Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Hillary Clinton has decided she knows why there's more bullying today than there was yesterday, which doesn't really make sense. I'm not sure there is. But she's figured it out. We'll have that for you a little bit later on. Let me go to the phone lines. In the meantime, say hello and welcome to line one is Shauna in Michigan. Shauna, what's going on? Hi.
Hi. I was calling because you were asking about what people thought about Elsa.
Yes. Has to be gay.
And, yeah, so I don't necessarily have an issue with Elsa being a lesbian. I think what bothers me the most is how hard Frozen worked to, like, show that women can be empowered with, like, out having to have some sort of knight in shining armor run in, because I sometimes struggle with, like, over-sexualizing of little kids anyway.
Right.
But then, like, to go, like, all the way to the other side and say, oh, but it's okay to sexualize them if we are talking about LGBTQ people.
Right.
So it kind of like contradicts, you know, what some people are saying is important.
Well, of course it does. I mean, Elsa shows a strong young woman or a strong young girl who is making very big life decisions. And I'm not sure that she needs the man to be there to make her or to get her through it. And certainly doesn't prove anything by saying, well, here's my girlfriend, you know, Bobby. I mean, I'm not sure why that's the story. It isn't the story. In fact, somebody just tweeted me, I will never allow my 8-year-old to go see a movie, animated or not, that is somehow about the sexuality of the characters. Yeah, kid, this is for kids, this movie. Yes, I've seen it. Yes, I like the music because I've got young children in the house. But at the end of the day, this is for kids. This is for entertainment. This is to get away from the daily grind. Why would you throw sexuality down the throats of those who are trying to watch your film? You wouldn't, I wouldn't think.
Yeah. Especially after, like, fighting so hard for, like, removal of that, you know, the princess and the prince kind of idea. Like, there's been a lot of fight from the same community, like, to remove that idea from children's anything. And so, like, this is the exact same thing. It's just on another side of it.
I hear you, and I think it's a very good point. Open line now, 888-941-PAGS. 888-941-7247. Line 4 is going to be Chris in Tulsa. Chris, what's up?
Hey, how are you doing, sir?
Living the dream, man. What's going on?
I got a quick fix for the GLAAD problem, needing 20% of homosexuals on TV by 2025.
Sure.
We just go over to GLAAD's corporate office, fix all their remotes so they only pick up Bravo and Lifetime. Bam, pass the potatoes.
You pick up all the remotes and only let them go to Bravo and Lifetime? Now, I don't watch Bravo nor Lifetime because I'm a man. Are those filled with gay people? I didn't know that.
Yeah, Bravo is.
All right, Chris, I appreciate that. Carrie, is that a thing? Do you watch the Bravo?
Some of it. I was looking to Polo. I wasn't aware of it, but or Lifetime.
Polo anything? But... Is that the gay channel? I don't know.
I mean, it's not the gay channel, but, I mean, there are quite a few shows, you know, that have like the I think it's that RuPaul's Drag Race show. I think that might be on Bravo.
That's on Bravo?
I think so.
RuPaul's Drag Race?
Yes.
Is it literally men wearing women's clothing racing?
They're not racing. I think it's like a fashion competition.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And people are watching that?
Somebody is.
I mean, they must be getting paid somehow. They must be, have advertisers. So That's somehow the norm. But again, if you call something RuPaul's Drag Race, I know what it is before I get in. I know who RuPaul is, and I know what drag refers to. So I don't have to watch it. Frozen is an animated movie where the main characters sing and go through life's different steps and passageways. It's very odd to me that there has to be some sexual connotation. Now, what if those of us who are straight said, well, she's got to be straight, and you're going to have her have a boyfriend next time. They better have a baby. I think that'd be just as dumb. But I will never understand the mentality of somebody who's in the LGBTQXYZ123 community who says, I can't possibly relate to a great song or a great couple of hours of entertainment unless there's a gay aspect. I don't understand. Let me go to Marty, Tulsa. Marty, what's happening? Hi.
Hi, Joe. In regards to Elsa, it appears to me that Disney is trying to push an agenda of teaching and indoctrinating children into the homosexual aspects of life, if you want to call it that. And I think it's wrong. And I was telling Sam I wanted to relate a story to you real quickly about when my son, he's 21 now in the Air Force, but when he was 8 years old, they introduced a bill here in Oklahoma where they were wanting to start to teach children at the age of 8 about homosexuality in school. Of course,
who wanted to teach him that?
It was some lawmaker, some congresswoman or somebody here in the state. That would have been about 12 or 13 years ago when my son was in third grade. But my point is, I believe the lady caller a couple of callers ago hit it right on the head. Children who are, you know, watching Frozen don't need to know anything about sex, whether it's straight sex or homosexuality. I don't believe at the age of 8 or 9 or 7 or however old these kids are that they need to know anything about sex. I don't see why it's so important to push them into adult themes at the age of 7 or 8. I just don't get that.
Well, you're right. It's a matter of trying to indoctrinate them. That's why. If you get this done now, then you'll teach them from a very young age that it's normal for two men to be kissing or you know, getting married, or two women to do the same thing. When we know by the numbers, it is actually abnormal mathematically. But you have to pretend that if it's 20% of what you see on television, then I believe 1/5 of all of society is that way, and they're not. I'm not sure why this agenda has to be pushed. I think that it's annoying. But my bigger problem isn't really that they're saying that they need it, because I don't really understand that, but they can say whatever they want. My bigger problem is Disney probably will give in, and I don't want them to. I want Disney just to present the characters as they were intended and not let something change that, if that makes sense.
You know, can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
I watched, I'm in my early 50s, and I watched people like Bert and Ernie when I was a little kid.
Me too.
One time did I ever think, oh, these guys are gay. You know, it just wasn't wasn't something that went through my mind as an 8 or a 9 or a 10 year old. And I don't believe Sesame Street ever pushed that. Honestly, I don't believe that was part of their plan. But I think that as we get into this 21st century, you know, pride and political correctness, as I've stated before on your show, I think that a lot of things are changing, and it's not all for the good.
I hear you, Marty, and I appreciate that. Yeah, Bert and Ernie, remember there was a push a few years ago, Carrie, that they had to be gay too, or that they, of course,
they're gay. I vaguely remember that. Yeah, or that, of course they were. Yeah.
And I went onto the site of the guy who invented them. Was it Frank Oz? I forget who invented them.
Maybe.
But whoever the guy was that invented them said, of course they weren't invented gay. What are you talking about? Yeah. And he was lit up mercilessly over the fact that the guy who actually created them,
said that they weren't.
Dared say that they were not created gay. Mm-hmm. And that's so weird to me. You can actually, in your mind, come up with a character, write the character, perform the character, use the character to help educate young people, and the characters were based on The Odd Couple, which was an actual television show, or a movie first, then a television show. So if that's really what they were based on, I mean, those two weren't gay for sure. So why people needed to portray that or project that onto the characters is a little bit surprising to me. But more surprising is telling the guy who created them, you're wrong about your own characters, and you need to make them fit into this box that I say they fit into. And if you don't, you're a homophobe, you're a something, a bigot, and fill in the blank. It legitimately is illegitimate. But that was their argument. And, Carrie, I'm here to tell you, tons of people agreed with the attacks on the guy that created them.
I'm sure they did, It's not surprising.
And I should be surprised, but I'm not. In this day and age, either you roll over and you get in line and you get in lockstep and you get in groupthink, or else you're in big trouble. And that's what they're trying now to put off on Frozen or Disney or whatever. And it shouldn't work. I do want Disney to say, yeah, no, she's not gay. Pass the potatoes. And then those who are arguing for it will go away. 888-941-PAGS, JoePags.com. Stay here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pags Show.
Great radio stations across the land, JoePags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there. Sign up for the newsletter as well at JoePags.com. Just scroll down and put your email address into the box, and you'll be all signed up. Also, the live video stream, just press play when you get there. Talking about the push to make Elsa gay for some reason, it doesn't make any sense. I'll take a few more calls on that. And then Carrie's got a story from Hillary Clinton, and who she's blaming for the rise in bullying in this nation. We'll have that for you, too. Let me go to the phone lines. It's going to be Evie in Mississippi. Is it Evie or Evie?
It's Evie.
Evie, what's going on? Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say about Frozen that the forces that be are really they're trying to destroy our children, and they have been for the past almost 13 years.
What do you think the objective is? Why would they try to destroy our children?
I'll tell you, I had the privilege of taking a Russian history class my senior year of high school many years ago.
Sure.
And the teacher outlined how the Communist Party changes a democracy to communism. one of the steps is destroying the morals of the country. So, you know, that's basically what is behind this.
All right. Evie, I hear you, and I appreciate that. Yeah, there is an interview you can find on YouTube. I don't know the guy's name off the top of my head. Some Russian name. Former KGB guy that defected. I think he's now dead, but this is like from the 1980s, where he sits down and he talks about what the Soviet Union is trying to do to the American way of life, to freedom and liberty. How they don't come in and say, we're going to go fight you in a war. We're going to, over the generations, take God out of your lives, get rid of morality, get rid of a family structure, a value system that makes sense. And he just goes down the list of exactly how you dismantle a democracy. Now, this is after, I think, this young woman who called in was taking this class in high school. But this man is from the 70s or 80s. I'm not sure exactly what. So it might have been around the time that she did learn this. But he was talking about what the objective is and how you get to that objective. Many presidents over the years have always said, you're going to lose the country from within. It's not going to happen from outside. Now, many could say, well, yeah, but it's an outside push. No, these people are in the country. And they're now, there's a story today that we may get to about how Thanksgiving, what are they decolonizing Thanksgiving? Carrie, is that what's going on?
I don't know what that means. That's it. I know.
So they're actually going to say, this isn't the history. We're going to tell you the real history. We're going to take the colonists out of it. What does that even mean? Do you have that story handy? Why don't you throw that at me if you can?
Okay.
I'll take a phone call in the meantime, because this is another step. You take God out, you take religion out, take values out, you take morals out, you take history out, you take traditions out, and then you're left with whatever the person taking it out wants you to be. And what that is if you follow the far left-wing progressive socialist agenda, they want the country to be seen by the inhabitants, the natives here, us. They want the country to look like a very bad place that's done nothing but bad things and has no redeeming qualities. Well, that's not true. Mario, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Living the dream, man. What's happening?
No. It just seems like to me it's Elsa now, but it's more deeper than that. It could be any show. It just seems to me like it's beginning to be a silent war on the heterosexual male to me.
Well, of course it is.
And it's a factor where the bullied is now becoming the bully from a heterosexual point of view, if you ask me.
Well, absolutely right. That's exactly what's happening. Allegedly, we're the bullies. We heterosexual men. Also, if we happen to be Christian, forget about it. We're in big trouble. We're somehow the bad guys. We have to be taken down a notch. And to do that, they have to bully us. And they're doing that to us.
That's exactly what I'm seeing. And this is just one small example. I'm only 40, but this I haven't been seeing this 20 years ago, it wasn't like this.
No, it's happening fast. It's happening very quickly. You're absolutely right.
Oh, yeah.
All right, brother. I appreciate it, Mario. Thanks. Open line now, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Carrie, please do tell, how do you decolonize Thanksgiving?
Mm-hmm. From the Blaze, the Social Equity and Title IX Office of Indiana University of Pennsylvania sponsored a Decolonize Thanksgiving information table Thursday to drive home the notion that stories told about the first Thanksgiving often perpetuate harmful stereotypes and racism. The idea behind the display was to get students to decolonize your Thanksgiving, to go beyond the harmful pilgrims and Indians narrative, and focus on common values, generosity, gratitude, community, and good food. And there will be copies of this expressed speech of Wamsutta James, Abigail Adams, chairperson for IUP's Native American Awareness Council, told Campus Reform, adding that, quote, we have a poster that addresses the myth of Thanksgiving with quotes from Native scholars and activists. Adams also stated Carrie House, a Two-Spirit Navajo scholar who had hosted a lecture on campus in 2017 about Native Two-Spirits and is labeled as a presenter of social justice, LGBTQ, and cultural and environmental issues will also be at the table to offer the Native perspective of Thanksgiving.
Did you say LGBTQ2? What is that?
I don't know. That's the first time I've seen that.
Is it T-O-O like also or the number 2?
No, the number 2.
LGBTQ2.
Yeah.
So when I say LGBTQXYZ123, I'm not that far off.
Not
There's
really.
Actually a two in there now.
There is. I'll have to look that up.
All right, go ahead. How else are we doing it?
In addition, the NAACP Social Equity and Title IX office will hold a concurrent event throughout the week titled the Decolonial Cuisine Celebration, and that is described as a culinary movement honoring the heritage of Indigenous America through their foodways and dietary choices. And the idea of decolonizing and push to decolonize is not a new one, and it's popular on college campuses. In 2017, for example, left-wing activists pushed the University of Cambridge to decolonize its curriculum by pushing out white authors in favor of minority writers.
So let's be racist against white people. That's going to make us a better place. So when you say pushing out white authors, what is it? What does that actually mean?
Yeah. Getting rid of them.
Right.
Goodbye. No more jobs.
Right. Denigrating. Bigoted against them. That's okay. It's like Mario said when he called in, it's okay to be bigoted against heterosexual men. Especially if you're Christian, forget about it. So this, it's okay to be bigoted against white colonists who were the foundation of what is now this great nation. By the way, there were no indigenous people. Indigenous people suggested they were here from the start. We know that the DNA background, the ancestry of those who are called indigenous are from, generally speaking, Europe and some from Asia. Indigenous, they didn't just arrive, they weren't just here. At the beginning of time, they came here like the colonists did, like the pilgrims did, like Columbus did. Yeah, but they came here first. All right, well, we were working it all out back then. I'll tell you this much, Native Americans or American Indians still exist today. So the idea that we just came over, took everything, and killed everybody didn't really happen that way. They still exist.
I do
but
know.
At the end of the day, why not? Go ahead.
Sorry, I do know what LGBTQ2 stands for, though.
What is it?
Two is for Two-Spirit, a modern pan-Indian umbrella term used by some indigenous North Americans to describe Native people and their communities who fulfill a traditional third gender ceremonial role in their cultures.
Shut up.
Dude, it's there. I don't understand. A traditional third gender.
LGBTQ2, and the two means a traditional third gender amongst indigenous peoples.
Yes. Two-Spirit.
Do I have it right?
Yes.
Okay, you know what I mean? What am I supposed to say?
I know.
Our friend Lynn writes me, and Lynn is a great help sometimes, and usually. I can't think of a time when she wasn't, to be honest with you. And she's our friend from Hawaii. The guy's name was Yuri Bezmenov.
Mm-hmm.
And he explained the new normal. He's former KGB, and I don't know when this was. I don't know if there's a date on this. Probably is. But this is in the 1980s. He defected and then basically said, what's going to happen to take this country down? Carrie, it's exactly what we're watching happen.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. It's scary.
And we're living it. People are afraid. They won't do what I just did and complain about decolonizing Thanksgiving, a holiday that was started by the colonists that was given its real push to be a holiday by George Washington as he praised the Lord and him and God the entire time. This is a push to only say America bad. Only bad because white skin. Forgetting the fact that it was Spain that sent Christopher Columbus here. Spain, I thought, was the traditional place we can go back and follow Hispanics to, and Hispanic allegedly is a different race or ethnicity. You can't really say that because that doesn't fit the narrative.
Why are
you have
people,
to pretend it's bad white people?
Why are people so quick to jump on these bandwagons? Because they're afraid to make waves? Because they don't want people hating on them?
Great question. The people who are so-called of color that jump on the bandwagon love it because they have been taught and brought up to believe that they've been underrepresented, whether they have been or not. Those who are white, who are jumping on the bandwagon, live with white guilt and feel that this is a way to absolve themselves from original American sin. Mm. That's truly why I think. Great question, though. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
This is the song from the person that I didn't know. Is that what this is? Is this? I like this.
Yes.
What's her name again? Billy somebody?
Billie Eilish.
This is the one that goes... Something like that.
It's a good sound for you, yeah.
888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Bullying is on the rise, according to Hillary Clinton. And she knows exactly why bullying is on the rise. She's on it. She gonna fix it. And she knows the culprit. She's gonna call that person out.
In the finger.
Carrie, you think people, I've been teasing this for 3 hours. You think people already know who she's gonna blame?
I'm pretty sure they do. If they don't know who she's gonna blame,
mm-hmm. That's an issue.
No surprises.
But I guess what's surprising is that she's not a dumb person. I will give Hillary Clinton enough credit for being intelligent. She's wrong. She's corrupt. And I think she's bad for the country. But she's not dumb. Why does she think we don't know that bullying started way before the time frame that she's going to refer to?
Because she knows when people... hear her say this, they're going to love her for it. Because they hate on them too.
That we're dumb enough to believe that this is a new concept? Bullying? Come on, man. Yeah. Oh, we'll do that in a second.
Okay.
Let me tell you about Raycon wireless earbuds. They're awesome. They're great. I've got a set. I use them all the time. I love them. I was surprised by how small they are, yet how great they sound. And they started about half the price of other premium wireless earbuds on the market. They sound just as amazing as the top audio brands you know. They've got their newest model, Raycon does, E25s. Okay, they're the best ones yet. You get 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, a more compact design that gives you a comfortable noise-isolating fit. Unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet with no dangling wires or stems. Perfect for on-the-go listening and for taking phone calls, too. Raycon was co-founded by Ray J. He's a musician, if you didn't know. And also, celebrities like Cardi B and Snoop Dogg have already given Raycons their seal of approval. Now it's your turn to see what the hype is all about. You get 15% off because you listen to this very program by going to buyraycon.com/pags. buyraycon.com/pags for 15% off. Get these Raycon earbuds, buyraycon.com/pags right now. Before we do the phone lines, we have to get the story in. I don't want to tease it this entire time and not get it out. Carrie, what do you have?
From the Daily Mail, Hillary Clinton today blamed the rise of bullying in American schools on 24/7 bully Donald Trump and also hit out at misogynist online criticism preventing women from standing for parliament. Speaking at Swansea University, Mrs. Clinton said the public cannot leave the issue of intimidation to politicians as she continues her book tour promoting The Book of Gutsy Women, which she co-wrote with her daughter Chelsea. And the former U.S. Secretary of State told the audience, "We had an explosion of bullying in American schools, and you know much of it's inspired by the behavior of our president, who is, as you know, 24/7 bully on all kinds of issues. That is the highest office in our land, and that is the role model of our children. The children are picking up on those cues." Mrs. Clinton also highlighted the intimidation faced by female politicians while she led a panel discussion at the university on the adversity faced by women. She criticized the heavily misogynistic atmosphere online, which has seen female parliamentary candidates announce they are not standing in the general election.
Donald Trump made bullying what it is today.
Mm-hmm.
The president did.
Yes. And she said it, and you got to believe it.
I mean, you got that ass kicked in 2016. I get it. I mean, but come on. At some point, just take a breath and realize it. Man, I got my butt kicked. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Do you think that Donald Trump, our president, is the reason why there are bullies? I feel stupid even asking the question, to be honest with you. Let me go to the phone line. It's going to be Marla in Florida. Marla, what's going on? Hi.
Well, I had originally called because of what you were talking about before.
Feel free.
Indians,
sure.
How people were having problems with that. My thought with that is it has all to do with the fact that no one really pays attention to history anymore. No one has learned from it. Winston Churchill said, "Who does not learn from history is doomed to repeat it." And we are failing our children and the rest of the people in this country because no one really pays attention to history. It's not the dates, it's not the year something happened, but it's how and why. And we don't teach that anymore. And with your statement you just made, with what's going on with Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
She's a bully.
Oh, absolutely.
She bullied the women that her husband abused, and she turned around and dutied, for lack of a better word, because I can't say the real one, because I know you're on the radio, because
right.
you bleep me.
Right.
She dutied all over them.
I don't
stand
know that...
up for women, my hiney.
Yeah.
She didn't do that.
I have never
she
heard.
Stand up for any of
in
them.
All my years on radio, nobody's ever used the words dutied and hineyed, or hineys. On my show, but I appreciate that. No, it's good stuff. It's a couple of my favorite words, to be honest with you. Sharon, I literally have 30 seconds. Go fast.
Got it. Don Jr., Nikki Haley. If neither one of them run in 2024, I nominate you, Joe. You've got the best values. You're knowledgeable. You're logical. And I think you'd really do a great job.
Sharon, that's thanks it. A million. I, Sam, what do you think? You want your father to be the president?
I don't think I can handle that pressure. So.
Oh, wow. So Sam's saying no. Let's hear some pop culture. Ah! Dirty pop. Yo. Hi, Paula. What's going on?
All right. So you remember that story going on with the guy that was on death row here in Texas, Rodney Reed?
Yes.
Okay. So Kim Kardashian went to go see him today. And while she was visiting him, he got a stay of execution.
I wonder why. They've got his DNA, and we're talking about saliva and semen and everything else, at the scene of, like, the rape of a 12-year-old or something. So, very odd. Interesting to see how this thing works out. So, he got a reprieve. Is he, it's a stay to further investigate, or?
Yeah,
is 120
days.
Sentence, right?
120 days, because they have new evidence, I guess.
Well, if they have the evidence, then that makes sense. I'm sorry, I thought there was a 12-year-old that was previous to that. We don't have time to get into it. 19-year-old will go with that one. All right, that's Carrie, that's Polo, that's Sam, I'm Joe. We'll see you later.
This is the Joe Pags Show.